can call on, because you are here. You are here.
Come on. God, for your faithfulness. You are so, so faithful in every area of our lives. We worship you, God, with our expressions from our bodies, with our vocals, with our hearts and with our minds, with our hands. We worship you, give you thanks, and give you praise, and give you glory, God. We come into this place collectively this morning to say that you're a big God, you're a good God. We give you space in our hearts and in our minds. We want you first. We want you lifted up higher than any other thing, than any other person, than any other situation. God, the same God. The same God that shut the mouths of lions for Daniel. The same God that slayed the giant for David. The same God that moved in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in history today. God, you are the same God, and we trust you, and we believe. But with you, all things are possible. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As a part of worship this morning, we're going to receive our tithes and our offerings in an attitude and a spirit of worship. And we just go ahead and pass the buckets. And if you're a guest here with us, don't feel any obligation there. But we just give out of worship and out of a heart of gratitude and thankfulness to back to God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you so very, very much for all that you've done, for all that you are and all that you're doing. Father, we continue to worship you this morning.
Yes, God, we give you space today. And we know that when we give you space, God, you fill it. You are faithful. All of our focus is on you. We want to hear your voice, God. We want to know you more. Speak to me. You're the only voice I want to hear. Walk with me, God. Show me who you are as I draw near. 'Cause if you're not
grateful for you and thankful that you, in coming down to earth to remove every obstacle, every barrier, every impediment, God, between us and the Father, for those who would believe in you and love you. Thank you, Jesus, that in showing us your face, you showed us the face of the Father. Father, who is concerned about the smallest details of our life. God, nothing escapes his notice. Nothing is of more value to you, Father, than your people, your children, the ones you love. We thank you today, Jesus, for your love. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for making the way for us to come home and be with you in your glory, Lord, forever and ever, to continue to worship together as we do today. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you, guys. You may be seated. I want to just welcome you again today to worship with us here at CF Paris. Thank you for choosing to be with us today. If you are a guest with us, we're very thankful that you would be with us here today. If you're visiting family, if you're coming to check us out for the first time, we're just thankful to have you here. We'd love to be able to connect with you. We can do that either by you filling out one of the New Here cards and just dropping it in the bucket as you go out, or you can do that online if you're joining us online today, or just stop by our New Here table in the lobby just to touch base and say hello and check in on your way out today. We have a gift that we would love to give you just to be able to acknowledge and let you know we're thankful that you are here to worship with us today. We do have announcements on the announcement video. There's one I want to be sure to let you know. Next week, we're going to be having a very special service. I'm sure we'll hear more about that today, of Thanksgiving and a celebration together. And as part of our worship service next week, we're going to be doing baptisms in the service as part of our worship next week. And so we have some people. Yeah, we're excited to do that. We have some people who are already signed up to be a part of that, and just wanted to let you know that if it's something that you're interested in, if you would like to be baptized, if you have a heart to do that, if you want to ask questions about it, you can still sign up online on the church website. You can find one of the pastors and talk to us about it, but it's not too late. That's something you would like to be a part of with our celebration next week. We invite you to do so. God bless you guys. Let's take a look at our announcements on the screen, and then we'll enjoy the word together.
Next up, next Saturday, December 2nd, we need help building the float, and we need at least 20 people riding the float. So if you want to ride the float or help build the float, sign up in the lobby today.
Next up, shirts are now on sale. I'll put a picture of what the shirt looks like on the screen and a QR code so you can scan it to go buy the shirts. Orders are open until November 28th, so get the shirts while they're here.
Next up, CF students.
No class on Wednesday.
No class on Wednesday.
Also, Club 15 is now over until January.
That's it.
Can you say bye, CF parents?
Bye, CF parents. Bye, CF parents.
Is that all? Yeah. If you need help deciphering the announcements, just go back and watch the video again. Oh, that was too good. That was too good. So much going on. We do have a Christmas parade float. We need your help building it. We need your help sitting on top of it, because how are we in the community if we're not on the float in the community? Look, just having us up there, it's about us. We are the church, not me, not Pastor Brandon, not Pastor G, not the worship team, not the ushers that come in and greet you. It's us. It's you and I. I encourage you, y'all come up, y'all be a part of helping to build the float, pull it together, and then come join us as we celebrate Paris, Lamar County, and we enjoy the reason for the season. Some of you are just mad that there's Christmas decorations up before Thanksgiving. Like, you're just sitting here staring at me like, y'all had to put the bows up and the tree up, didn't you? Haven't had my turkey dinner. Well, God bless you. Hallelujah. If you want to be a part of decorating the church, then you too can have a say in what goes up when it goes up. All right. Guys, next week is a very celebratory, going to be a great service. We are going to have baptisms in service. So there's been a number of people already signed up. But then as well, at the end of service, we're going to celebrate communion. We're going to receive communion together corporately as a body. It's going to be a beautiful giving of thanks service. Giving thanks service. It's going to be awesome. I encourage you, come back next week for that. Today we wrap up our message series, Giving Thankfully. Giving Thankfully, and if you're a guest here for the first time today, or if you are a regular and like current statistics show, you show up once every three or four services, then I encourage you, go back and listen to the last two. Go back and listen to the last 2 weeks leading up to this. Today, I'm going to kind of surmise, and I'm going to leave some stuff out there kind of open-ended, but a lot of it, you will hear the heart behind and what is the coming of the reason why I'm going to share what I shared today in the last 2 weeks. Go back and listen to those. The subject of giving in any church is always awkward. It's always weird, and I'm going to talk about that just a little bit, but today I want to talk to you specifically about the blessings of generosity. And what I truly hope to get you to see is that giving and being generous are two different things. Two completely different things. In fact, anyone can give, but to live from a heart of faith through generosity, that's different than just giving. Because I want us here, this church, I want us as a body, I want us as a people to lead our community with generosity. Generosity is simply the blessing of being obedient to God and it impacting somebody else's life. Generosity is being obedient to God and it impacting someone else's life.
Amen.
We really do believe that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do we or don't we? Do we believe that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive? Amen. I mean, Jesus said it, so if you don't, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You see, we believe that God is faithful, that God himself multiplies, and all we have to do is give. If we're faithful when we give, God then does the multiplying. As Jesus' followers, because of what he first gave, because he gave his first, we lead with generosity. As Jesus followers, what we do, and we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, is we want to grow past what is a typical mindset within our society, and that is a mindset of scarcity. We want to move past that into what is a mindset of abundance. We understand that God supplies. We get it. God supplies everything. God is our supplier. And because God is the supplier, then we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about what we have running out if we trust that God is the supplier. That's abundance. That simply is abundance. But while anyone can give, not everyone is generous. When scarcity is your mindset and you receive something, the typical go-to is to consume it. We spend everything we have and then lack, which only leads to fear. The cycle continues because in fear, we then continue to consume, and in consuming, we just continue the cycle. Scarcity. We receive something, we consume it. The cycle continues, and the mindset around giving, eventually becomes, I wish we could give more, but we're just unable to. I wish we could give more, but I just don't have enough. But as followers of Christ, look, we know that we don't serve a scarcity God. You and I serve a God of abundance. And abundance also a cycle. While scarcity runs out, understanding that God is the supply, abundance recognizes God is the supplier, and so because he gave his first, I too give my first. And then in giving my first, what happens is, well, we recognize it. God multiplies. We talked about it last week. God multiplies what is blessed. What we give back to him is blessed. And that's every area of your life, Scripture tells us. God multiplies it. And when God multiplies it, our faith grows. And when our faith grows, a cycle begins to happen. We get excited about giving back. Now, it's not just about tithing. Now, it's about giving and to see lives changed for eternity. It's a progression. It's a cycle. So then, how do we, as followers of Christ, how do we grow to become abundant givers? How do we, through our finances, reflect the heart of a good God and be a blessing to people everywhere? Today, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about three different ways that we, as followers of Christ, faithfully give. Three ways that we give. Now, notice, I want you to know up front, this is not three ways, and you get to pick your favorite. Three ways, and you find yourself in one of them and be glad that you do that. No, no. This is three ways that we should all be giving. Oh, man, he's talking about tithing, and he's going to tell me I got to do it three times? The first way that we give is impulsively. We give impulsively. There will be a time when you see a need in somebody else's life and your thought will be, I can meet that need. With what God has blessed me with my time, with my resources, with my finances, with what I have, I can take care of that need. I see a need and I'm honored, I'm even excited about meeting that need. Many of you have given this way numerous times. A hurricane has made landfall somewhere on the coast, and you guys have seen families suffering and have thought, what can we do? What can we give from here to meet that need there? Or even here locally, a tornado rips through our community, and you all just give and give and give. You give to help people here recover. And in those moments, it feels good to give to a need that moves us. It feels good to give to a need that moves us. You may be just driving down the road very simply and see somebody hurting. For others of you, you know of a family that's struggling just to make ends meet. And so in your mind, you sit there and think, how can I affect that? You give impulsively, and this is a very, very important way to give. We see a great example of this in how the Good Samaritan gave. If you don't know the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus was telling a parable. And he said that there was a Jewish man that was traveling, and while traveling, he was jumped by some robbers, some thieves. And these thieves left him to die. Left him on the side of the road to die. And throughout the day, there was a couple different religious leaders that walked by and did just that. They saw the situation and chose to walk on by. And then Jesus says that there was a Samaritan, which a Samaritan was, they didn't even communicate, talk, much less actually interact with the Jews at the time. And Jesus goes on to say that this Samaritan made the impulse decision as he was walking by to stop and help the man. He didn't wake up that morning thinking, you know what, today I think I'm going to help heal a Jew. That wasn't his thought that morning. In fact, I would dare say that morning his only thought was, I am a servant of God. If there's a need I can meet, God know that I'm available. He saw a random need he could meet. He went up to the guy, he puts oil on his wounds, bandages him up, puts him on his donkey, carries him into the next town, tells the innkeeper, I want to pay for a room and I want somebody to continue to look after this man, pays for the room, and then tells the innkeeper the next day, here's two extra coins, both equal to about a day's wage. He said, I want to pay for the next couple days for this man to stay and be healed. When I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Again, the Samaritan didn't wake up that day and say, I'm going to do some special deed today. He was simply available. He saw a need and impulsively met it. I want to encourage you, as Jesus' followers, you and I are to be led by the Spirit and to give impulsively. But please do not only give impulsively. This is where most people stop. And if you only give impulsively, you'll be very limited in making a true difference. Yes, start there, but don't stop there. The second way, as Jesus' followers, is we not only give impulsively, but we also tithe deliberately. Oh, the commotion. Isaiah 32:8 says this, generous people plan to do what is generous. They plan their generosity. And they stand firm in their generosity. They make a decision. They hold steadfast to it. They stand firm. It's deliberate. They plan it. Look, most of us, what do we plan when it comes to our money? We plan to consume. We do. We make plans to consume our money. But as followers of Christ, we are contributors before consumers. You and I, as followers of Christ, must recognize that we are first contributors before we ever consume. All right. Because the church doesn't exist for us. You and I, as the church, exist for the body, for the people, for the world. So what if instead of planning to make a purchase, what if we as Jesus followers planned to make a bigger difference in our community through giving? Hear me. You can give more if you plan on giving more. You can give more if it becomes a part of your heart, if it becomes a part of who you are, your values, your strategy. You can if you plan to. You and I must be deliberate tithers. As Jesus followers, we plan to put God first in every area of our lives. So then, the first 10% of what comes in, we deliberately, prayerfully, and out of a heart of worship, return it to God through the local church. This isn't a give when we want to. This isn't a give because we feel prompted to. To tithe is a strategic, prayerful response to the generosity of God. And we deliberately do it as an act of worship. Now, here is where I get the most kickback. Here's where I get the most kickback, and I understand. I do, because what it looks like, and even as I say it, I understand that it looks like this. It looks like that I, as a pastor, am asking you to give to me. But I pray you hear me when I say that I am not asking you to do anything that I won't show you why in Scripture. Also, I'm not asking you to do anything that I don't currently do myself. That confuses people. I was talking with Pastor Brandon here just this week, and we were talking about giving, and that it confuses people when we say that. They're like, wait, what? You work there. That doesn't negate the word of God. My job description will never negate the word of God. Just because I work here doesn't mean that I get to skip out. Giving thankfully is an attitude of the heart. And we all have to put our trust in Him. We all have to put our trust in Him. So with that, I'm walking everything I'm teaching. And I also tell you again, will not patrol this. I'm not going to go look through the record books. I'm not going to find out. It's between you and God. And just like Scripture says, everyone must decide in their own heart how much to give. If you have questions, come talk to me. I will gladly go over every Scripture of why I believe what it is I believe and why I do what it is I do. From there, I'm not going to expect anything of you. It's what I do because I believe it's what God has told me to do through Scripture. When you get that revelation from God, I pray you dive into it. Until then, do not give out of pressure or some sort of like underhanded you must give idea. I'm not going to patrol it. But it is in giving to the local church that most people have questions. Corey, I give to a number of churches and organizations. Corey, if you'll tell me what the need is, I'll contribute to that. Well, that's not deliberate. That's impulsive. That's determining your gift based on whether it's a need that you feel led to be a part of. And that still has an element of your control. Tithing is trusting. It's never making sure that the ends justify the means and that it all measures up to what you feel is warranted. No, that's the joy of impulse giving. That's the joy of impulse giving. But deliberate tithing isn't about whether or not it makes sense. Deliberate tithing is trusting God with what is not yours. And as well, come on, don't you know that if I were to start passing the plate every time there was a need just within our community, that you guys would never get to leave here because we'd be passing the basket like over and over and over. I remember growing up in church and the basket would pass and then there would be another need. And then sometimes there was a third need. And sometimes they might even think about locking the back doors until you give it off. Hallelujah. I've come to the understanding that if I am truly trusting God, if I'm trusting God with my giving, and again, I'm not telling you to do anything that I'm not currently doing. If I'm truly trusting God with my giving, and if I'm truly trusting God, then I also must trust God's people with their giving. Corey, how are we going to know if there's a need? Are you kidding? There's always a need. What? It's weekly that there's people that visit the door here needing help. It's weekly that people within this body, not just community people passing by, within this body, there's weekly, it doesn't go by, that people need help. How are we going to know if there's a need? That's what the tithe is for. Because you give deliberately, we as a church can bless impulsively. Because you give deliberately, we as a church, as a body, can bless impulsively. And hear this, bless impulsively to needs that you may never even hear about. Anytime there's a need in our community, I truly believe that the local church should be ready to bless. And if the church gave deliberately, there would never be a pastor that would have to go back and beg and beg and beg. But even bigger than that, even bigger than that, tithing. Tithing is the opportunity not only for God to fix the current needs that you may see, but bigger than that, it's also the opportunity for God to begin to build the dreams, the plans, and the future that you can't see yet. I truly believe that the provision for any need within our community has already been supplied within the local church body. See, some of you keep thinking that your tithing fills a need. You forget that God's supply is also for the hope and the plan that isn't even in your imagination or might come about via a method that you don't necessarily think justifies your giving. I want to be really clear. I want to be clear with you guys. Look, yes. I'm asking you to be a part of giving thankfully. As your pastor, I really am praying that you recognize the opportunity that you have to be deliberately generous. And I pray that you go back. If you question or are just curious about anything I've said over the last 3 weeks, go back, listen to each video, listen to it in full, and then open up the Word of God and study. Ask God to show you. Feel free to come ask me any question you want. I'm asking you to give thankfully. As your pastor, I'm praying you recognize the opportunity you have to be deliberately generous. But more so than that, I'm asking you to seek God on how you can deliberately tithe to a local church. Notice I didn't say our church. I didn't, because I truly believe if you don't believe in me, if you don't trust this, if you don't trust us, I am asking you, don't give here. But give somewhere. But give somewhere. In fact, I encourage you, find a local church where you can trust and then plug in. But understand, it's not about what you receive, it's about what you give. Because yes, it's about being able to sit down and trust what's being said and be edified and lifted up because you know you can trust it. But then as well, it's about giving right back in to the people that you're sitting around. Plug into a local church, be a tither and a giver. Ooh, there's a distinction. Be a tither and a giver of your time, of your resources, but also financially. Be a tither in the local church and impact your community. Impact the world through the body of Christ. If not here, find a place. Look, I'll even recommend a couple fellow pastors. Name it. What style do you want? I've got great relationships with pastors across this community. I'll recommend one to you. But then get involved. Get plugged in and give deliberately. Give deliberately to what God is doing in your community, regardless of whether you see the need or not. That kind of generosity, that kind of giving, it doesn't happen accidentally. It's setting a goal to give more. It's making a bigger difference than you even made this year. It's recognizing, God, give me that opportunity. It's deliberate. It's strategic. Generous people plan to do what is generous, then stand firm in their generosity. We don't just give impulsively. Certainly, yes, we do, but we don't stop there. As followers of Christ, we also give deliberately. The third way that we faithfully give, and this is so important because it encompasses both your impulsive giving and your deliberate tithing. And that is that we always give sacrificially. Whether you give impulsively, whether you tithe deliberately, we always give sacrificially. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus, it's such an interesting passage because Jesus sat down specifically opposite of where people were putting their tithes. He sat down to watch. I told you I'm not going to. I don't need that headache. Look, Jesus sat down and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Because it was here that Jesus knew would reflect and would reveal what was truly in their hearts. He's watching what people put in the offering bucket. And Mark says that many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came in and put in two small coins worth only a few cents. And then calling his disciples together, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Like, I don't know if you grasp the brevity of this situation. In the Jewish culture, women weren't necessarily looked down on, but at the same time, they weren't noticed either. And so couple that with having lost a husband, being a widower, now you're not ostracized, but unless you have family that's willing to take you in and take you on, you don't have a contributing part in society anymore. And so as a culture, what they would do, as a widow, you knew that unless you had family that would take you in, you were going to be living off scraps, off nothing, off what you had, minute amounts. She gave two coins that to her was the reality of whether or not she survived another week. Yet Jesus looks on and says, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. You see, everyone else gave from their abundance. But giving from your abundance only shows a mindset of giving through scarcity. You see, the widow gave and trusted him with everything she had. She gave from a mindset of abundance. Her only natural provision surrendered sacrificially simply because she trusted him more than what circumstances told her. The widow trusted God with what she didn't have. And maybe even crazier than all of it, to me, it's that Jesus didn't stop her. If I'm on pastoral duty that day, I'm like, ma'am, no, it's okay. It's okay. There's other people that are gonna give today. You need that. You keep that. Right? I mean, that's my heart. That's my desire. I see the hurt, and impulsively, I want to fix that. But sometimes, you recognize that deliberate tithing is so much stronger, so much stronger than the giving, the impulsive giving we do. Jesus didn't rob her from the blessing of giving and even went so far as to celebrate her sacrificial gift. He celebrated her sacrificial gift, saying she's given more than anybody. I wonder, when was the last time that you received the blessing of having given sacrificially? When's the last time you gave in such a way that you felt it? Felt it and loved that you gave up something to be a blessing to someone else. You see, we give impulsively. When it feels right, when it tugs at our heartstrings, and as a strategic and prayerful response to the generosity of God, we deliberately tithe, an act of worship. But both of these we do from a sacrificial heart, a heart that knows that God is the source of it all. Look, I'll tell you again without apology. As the pastor of this house, I hope to inspire this church, you. I hope to inspire you to give. Not because I tugged on your heartstrings with the latest need. I pray I inspire you to give because we as a church understand and believe it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's beautifully evident that God is doing something amazing in our community. There's a stirring underneath the surface. There's a hunger, there's a desire, there's a yearning, there's a fervor. And it's exciting to see what God is doing in our community. As a church, I pray that when we see that God is moving, I pray that we jump at the opportunity to fan the flame. But as well, even when we don't see God moving, I pray that we still recognize the opportunity to fan the flame of His Spirit to move more and more within our community. Because it really is unbelievable what God can do with just a little. When he multiplies it through the prayerful use of His people. Guys, look, because of what God did, giving thankfully is what we do. Yes, we give impulsively when it feels right, but we also give deliberately. 10% back to God is the tithe. And listen, when you give... I pray you know that we use it to make a difference here. This church helps local ministries. This church helps other churches minister to people that you will never see. We give to people in need that are hurting and desolate right here in our community. And the truth is, it's not enough. We also help globally. There's missions and churches around the world that we get to be a part. And even that, I want it to be so much more. But it's in doing these things through our giving that you and I, we inspire others to live and believe like the gospel changes everything. That's our hope here is that you and I would be inspired and that we would go from this place to inspire others, inspire our community to truly live and believe like the gospel changes everything. Look, above all, it's all done sacrificially. We recognize that even in our abundance, it's always still His supply. And as a church, we know that we know that we know it is more blessed to give than to receive. giving thankfully. I'm going to close this out here in prayer in just a second. But before I do, look, I encourage you, come back next week. I'm not going to take a special offering. We're going to do things normal, other than it's just going to be a time of thanksgiving, a time of giving thanks, a time of celebration, a time of worship. Y'all come back next week. We're going to celebrate baptisms, those that have given their lives to Christ. And as well, we're going to take communion together. We're going to receive the elements and understand that it's truly a blessing to be able to celebrate in what our Lord has done for us. That's the beauty of coming together. Y'all come back next week and enjoy a celebration service with us. Bow your heads with me, Lord God. I come before you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your heart in these people, in your church. Lord God, I thank you for the heart of giving that they have. Lord God, I pray, Father, that you would awaken a fervor, a yearning, Lord God, a desire for more. That, Lord God, our giving wouldn't just simply be relegated to what's impulsive. But Lord God, that we would come before you and that we would seek you, Lord God, in what it is that we should give. And then, Father, that we would be deliberate. That we would plan it out, Lord God, with the idea of, Lord, I'm trusting you to do this much, God. God, let it be more next year. Because through it all, God, I pray that we recognize we have the opportunity to give sacrificially, not out of abundance, not because we can, Lord God, but because you have blessed us with your supply. I pray today, Lord God, that you would multiply your supply on people's lives, that they would, Lord God, relish and enjoy the floodgates of heaven being opened on their lives when they recognize the blessing of giving back to you. Because I know, Lord God, this isn't just some prosperity message, but rather your truth, your word, Lord God, that we can trust in you. That we can look to you as the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. That we can trust wholeheartedly, Lord God, our everything with you. And Lord God, it's because of that we recognize that it's the tithe is our opportunity to give first, to give back because you first gave. God, don't let it be a struggle. Don't let it be a heartache, Lord God. But let your word pierce people's hearts even now. Father, that you would be able to pour out a blessing unlike anything they've ever experienced or seen. Father, I thank you for your word, your truth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the name of your son, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Guys, y'all be blessed. Y'all have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. We look forward to seeing you for our Thanksgiving service next week. God bless.